King County Executive Dow Constantine released his county budget proposal yesterday. Metro, roads, public health, they'll all see cuts. But Constantine has also proposed a new program. It's called Best Start for Kids. I asked him why in this era of budget cuts he's proposing something new.
Well, the latest advances in neuroscience right here at the University of Washington are telling us a lot about the way in which people's brains develop during their first 1,000 days of life. And what we know is that children who get off to a healthy start and are nurtured well during that time have brain development that puts them on a path for success in life. And those who do not show up at kindergarten behind and fall farther behind throughout their lives. What we pay for in our county general fund are bad outcomes. We pay for jail. We pay for mental health treatment. We pay for cops. We pay the price for not having made modest early investments. This is an attempt to get ahead of that.
You're positioning it as a preventive program. How is it different from the two Seattle pre-K programs that voters are going to see in November?
So Seattle is appropriately addressing pre-K, which is for kids in the 2 years before kindergarten. So this is, it's like school. It's starting to get them acclimated. It's starting to help kids who are behind catch up. This is more about the cognitive development that takes place in those early, early formative years. And that, you know, if you miss that window, you've missed it forever. And a lot of the problems that arise later, if they're dealt with very, very early, can be either dramatically reduced or eliminated.
So what exactly would this levy fund?
Okay, so we, of course, are working with experts and advocates and community providers. Right now, the county has a couple of programs that are in this vein. We fund maternity services where pregnant women can come to our public health clinics and receive help, but also more intensive service in the Nurse Family Partnership Program, where I identify mothers who are pregnant women who are at risk. Nurses go to their homes, help them understand how to become healthy and have a healthy baby, and then follow that baby through the first 2 years of his or her life to make sure they're getting off to that good start. It's a very, very limited program. It has dramatic results for those individuals, but we need to take that to the community level.
So an expansion of programs that already exist, in a sense?
It could be those programs. It could be others. The point is we focus on outcomes and the strategies that are proven to get to those outcomes, and that's what gets funded.
At the same time that you've proposed Best Starts for Kids, Dow Constantine, the King County Health Department is facing some serious budget problems. And right now, the future health, if you will, of those community-based clinics that you just mentioned is in jeopardy. In the past month or so, you've rolled out two solutions to keeping clinics, one in Federal Way, one, I believe, in West Seattle. But you are looking for different funding. So how can you propose a new program at the same time that you're pulling back on those direct services?
Well, of course. So these services, again, are mostly about dealing with problems that arise in people's lives over time that could have been avoided if they're dealt with earlier. So what we're trying to do, going back to the levy, is to rebalance our investment portfolio. It's all going into the bad outcomes, and none of it's going, or not much, going to the prevention side. We have to get new money to put in the prevention side because we still have to run the jails. We still have to have cops and courts and prosecutors and defenders. On the public health clinics, we've suffered years and years of cuts at the federal and state level in the funding for public health. In fact, Initiative 695 in 1999 wiped out the motor vehicle excise tax, which was a steady stream of revenue for public health. And it's never been fully replaced by the state. And so we've been propping it up with general fund, local money, et cetera. We had to face closing 4 of our 10 public health clinics. But over the past few months, I've been able to enter into partnerships with Planned Parenthood and Seattle to help us keep the Green Bridge in White Center clinic open, and with the city of Federal Way and our own employees who voted to give up some of their pay in order to keep the Federal Way clinic open. These are very significant contributions by people who understand the importance of being able to provide these services in our community.
So underneath all that, what you're saying is that you have not found replacement funds at the county level for the state and federal dollars that actually kept these things running.
That's right. You know, this community has the capacity. This is a wealthy place. We in Washington pay about 80 cents in state and local taxes for every dollar we spent just two decades ago. Taxes have gone down per capita, state and local taxes here. And we've become more efficient as well, but we do need some more funds to be able to provide the basic services that people in this county expect. And we have high expectations here in our private sector and in our public sector.
When would this early childhood levy go on the ballot if it's approved by the county council?
I'm proposing that we put this forward in the fall of 2015. It could be the primary, it could be the general election. What I'm going to do is work with our partners, the people who have been working on our Health and Human Services Transformation Plan, the people who are working on the Youth Action Plan, unanimously initiated by the county council, and advocates in our community who all are coming to understand that where we're really falling down is in making those investments in the very earliest days of life. This will bear fruit long after I'm gone from public life, right? We're talking about, you know, 10 or 20 years from now, we're going to see lower incarceration rates. We're going to see better mental health in the community. We're going to see communities that are more resilient and better able to help the kids growing up in them succeed.
Dow Constantine is with me. He's King County Executive. Earlier this year, while we're on the subject of money, earlier this year you warned after the defeat of the proposition to fund King County Metro that we should and would expect severe bus cuts. The first round of cuts is due out, I believe, the end of this week, but recently we heard our financial situation's not as dire as we originally planned. So first question, what does that mean for the planned cuts?
So we had four rounds of cuts. Going forward, every 4 months we make a service change. So the September cuts go forward, the February cuts need to go forward, and then we have the opportunity through some savings to start to reduce the last two rounds of cuts. The savings we have generated are based on long-term efficiency projects that we've been working on. Reducing long-term disability so we don't pay out so much in worker compensation, getting people back to work better, training people in safety so we don't have so much money going to safety and claims, recovering more in fraudulent worker compensation claims. All of those sorts of long-term projects that I initiated starting my first year in office are beginning to bear fruit, and they help the whole government, but they also help Metro Transit.
There is another ballot proposal for Metro, is there not?
There is a proposal at the city of Seattle for Seattle taxpayers to raise money to preserve bus service and improve transit service within Seattle's borders.
How will the news of the, I can't call it, you know, cornucopia for the county, but the improved outlook for county finances, do you think, impact the Seattle voters when they go decide on this?
Well, I think it's a positive thing. First of all, we're still looking at 400,000 hours of bus cuts at a time when we need to be adding 500,000 hours to meet current demand and support our economy. So that's 900,000 hours is more than a quarter of the total bus system that will be lacking at that point. The city of Seattle will be able to benefit because we can now reduce cuts to the point that they will be able to add a little bit of service in places where there are gaps. Improve frequency, improve connections, and that is a positive thing for voters.
You've also talked about creating efficiencies with Sound Transit, another organization that you're a leader of. How do you envision dovetailing the services? Because at this point in time, we've got a lot of different transit services.
This is a very exciting project, and it came about because I am the head of Metro Transit and now the board chair at Sound Transit as well. So I said, what can I do with this opportunity? I know. We're going to optimize these systems and the way they work together. We are moving the two systems, the two largest transit systems around here, toward not merely cooperating or negotiating agreements where they're coordinated, but planning and operating their services to the greatest extent possible as one. Wherever they can optimize the service, wherever they can get rid of redundancy and inefficiency, wherever we can plan so that the transit system as a whole, not Metro, not Sound Transit or Community or Pierce, but the transit system as a whole gets the most the most miles for every dollar, the most transportation for every dollar, we're going to be able to do that now. And it is going to be a years-long process, but it is going to bear, I think, a lot of, it is going to produce a lot of benefit for the people.
Well, so there are efficiencies I can see when you don't duplicate administrative services, but for folks that say, I don't see my bus as frequently as I need to, or that I've read this in the newspaper, that buses to South Lake Union, for example, home of the biggest industry, growing industry in our region, are overloaded, that there's not enough service. Are we going to see more?
Well, there's definitely not enough service anywhere. There's huge demand all over the region. What this is going to allow us to do is to make the best use of the resources we have. So when we create a high-capacity transit line, like a light rail line or a bus rapid transit line, it is important for us to reconfigure the system broadly to be able to bring people to those lines. And that means they may have to transfer, but it also means far more people will be able to go far more frequently to the places they need to get. And that is the kind of coordination that requires long-term planning, especially when you're building capital facilities like train stations. Those need to be intermodal facilities that work well for the long run.
Just last night, I was talking to two visitors from the East Coast, one from Montreal and one from Boston, both of which have what you would call efficient mass transit systems. And we were talking about places like Paris and London where you don't need to own an automobile. Is there a point in time where King County residents won't need cars, that you will be able to step out to one of those transit stops and something will come along and take you where you need to go?
That is absolutely the case. That is going to happen. It is not going to happen if you live in the outskirts of Carnation or Skycomish or Milton, maybe Milton. But it will happen if you live in the designated urban centers, not just Seattle, but Bellevue and Kirkland and Redmond and Shoreline and Auburn and Kent and Renton. Around the region, we're knitting together a network that would allow you to get around without an automobile and allow those cities to grow much more prosperously around the stations.
So how long do you hold that Sound Transit chair title? I mean, how much time do you have to get your dream into reality?
I have through the end of 2015 in this term, and I'm not ready to announce my future plans. I avoided taking on that responsibility as we were trying to fix the challenges we had at King County, and it seemed that this was now the time to expand my duties and take that on as well.
You mentioned the recession, and I'm curious how the county is doing financially. You took office in a terrible time. You spent a lot of your early years belt tightening and making things more efficient. So are we emerging from that?
Well, while our region is doing remarkably well and we see prosperity all around us, our population is growing, housing prices are rising, incomes are rising, unemployment is low, the county government is struggling financially because we're struggling with an antiquated and completely inadequate revenue system.
What do you mean by that?
So we receive property tax in the amount of about 43% of our general fund, which pays for cops and courts and prosecutors, as well as a number of other important public services. Property tax is lidded, the base property tax, at 1% under state law. That was Initiative 747. And that means that every year, no matter how efficient we are, and we're actually now more efficient than the economy as a whole, our government, the increase in government costs is now below the rate of inflation plus population growth. That's still 3.3%. Our total revenues are rising at only about 2.5% when you take everything into account. And that is a consistent gap between the need for maintaining current services and what we have to do it.
So you're going to the legislature and telling them what?
Well, essentially we're telling them the state tax system is broken. And I think they've been told that before. But this is a very stark example. We have this gap. We brought our costs down from 5 or 6% increase per year to 3.3%. Inflation plus population is 3.5%. Revenues go up at 2.5%. That, over the course of a decade, means almost $400 million in loss of service to the people of King County, loss of paving of roads or driving of buses or providing public health at clinics.
So you want the legislature to drop the cap?
Well,
or raise the lid, I guess, is the opposite of...
There are a number of things that the legislature could do. Ideally, they would remake the entire state tax system to make it fairer and more adequate, more encouraging of economic development, and able to pay for the things that people created government to provide. In the short term, they certainly could deal with that 1% cap on property tax receipts. Our property values in this county are going to go up 11 to 12% next year. The revenues that we receive do not go up anything like that. They go up at 1% plus new construction, which varies over time. So the legislature could just change that cap to population plus inflation, for example, not 6% as it was in the past, but something that allows us to provide the same level of service next year as we did this year.
Well, I want to go back to this idea of state tax system. You said Monday that we operate under, and I quote here, an antiquated and profoundly broken tax system that is mathematically incapable of generating the minimum revenue necessary to sustain public services. And we talked a bit about how it's lawmakers who have to change things. What's your ultimate, what do you envision, what kind of system do you envision that would actually work, not just the immediate cap?
Well, first of all, you know, the property tax lid is but one challenge. Sales tax is less and less adequate source of revenue for government. And Metro received sales tax authority when the motor vehicle excise tax went away. And it is really at the heart of Metro's current challenges. The sales tax used to grow with economic growth pretty well. 60 for the last 60 years or so, it's been declining, and people spend less now on taxable goods than they did in the past. So just a few years ago, 50% of every dollar of income in King County was spent on something that was taxable. Now it's 37% because people pay for services, people buy on the internet, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So when people look around and say, oh, the economy is booming, tax revenues must be booming as well, doesn't line up anymore. What we need really in this state is to convene people who want to think big about reforming the tax system and think about fairness and think about adequacy and think about stability, because the sales tax, for example, is very volatile, and to remake the system in a way that will support the kind of economy we want to have here. I know you're smiling.
I'm laughing, because there's one word that you have not said, which is, well, two words, income tax.
Well, that is because that is but one element of a potential solution. When I helped establish the tax study commission that Bill Gates Sr. chaired a few 15 years ago in Olympia, one of the things I said is you need to come forward with a proposal that does not include an income tax but accomplishes all these goods like fairness and adequacy and so forth, because the income tax itself has been politically sort of toxic. And what we want to do is get to talk about the underlying values and not just about one of the many potential solutions.
So what's the biggest roadblock to reforming our tax system?
Well, right now we're just mired in these little skirmishes in Olympia. You know, nobody's thinking big about anything, really. A few legislators have pet projects where they're, you know, trying to get people's attention about the export of $2 billion in tax revenue from King County to the rest of the state every year, net, for example, or about reforming the way we govern ourselves so that we don't have hundreds of small governments and special districts and all the redundant administration and cost. But, you know, in the end, you've got to create the space for that kind of conversation to happen. And the really difficult political climate that started in Washington, D.C. and has now infected our state capital seems to keep those kinds of high-minded conversations from happening.
Dow Constantine, if our state revenue system doesn't change, if we don't convene, we don't have that conversation, what do you envision 5 to 10 years from now?
Well, the state disinvestment in infrastructure, disinvestment in the next generation is a prescription for guaranteed economic decline, okay? You can't succeed if you don't pave the roads. You can't succeed if you don't build the transit to get people to work. And you can't succeed if you're not fostering, educating, training, helping the next generation get off to a good start. Those are the kinds of things that a progressive, forward-looking state like Washington should be doing. Those are the kinds of things that are rejected by an ideology that has infected a lot of the rest of the country, the notion that if taxes are lower, everything will be fine. It's not true. If you don't fix your roof, you're going to have a lot of problems come next winter. And that's the situation we find ourselves in now.
Thank you so much for coming by. Always good to see you.
Thank you.